Well, you can be seated if you can. I'd wonder if there'd anybody want to stand up and just give testimony, anything that God is doing in your life. Maybe that there's something that God is sharing with you that you want to just that's just kind of boiling up inside. Is there anybody that have anything to share? I know as the children are dismissed to D Kids. Is there anybody that has anything? Just wanted to make sure that all hearts are clear today. God has been doing some great things, I know, in families and hearts and lives in this church, and really kind of a neat time as a church to be seeking God's Spirit in everything we do. And that's what we want to be. That's where we want to be, seeking God in everything. And with that is such a fun time that we can minister together as we think of being a sending church. Right, being a church that sends, being a church that goes and ministers to our community. I want to just kind of briefly introduce, we have Pastor Lance and Miranda here and their family. They moved in from Iowa this last past week to Cadillac. Lance, raise your hand back there. So welcome them after church today. You can welcome them now too. They're planting a church in Cadillac, and so we're going to be joining with them. We're going to be partnering with them. We're going to be seeking God and what we're going to be doing as a church for that community up there. So I wanted to introduce them. So it's good to have you guys here today. You'll hear a lot more about what's going on in Cadillac, and Lance will be sharing here in the near future. But it's just exciting what God is doing. It's exciting being a Christian, right? I mean, just to understand who God is and to experience His Holy Spirit each and every day. And so as I was thinking this week, I wanted to share with you out of the book of 1 John. John is an author that has really, it's pretty much, he was one of the main authors in the New Testament. John, he's the author of 5 books, and he wrote one of the 4 Gospels, of course, and he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Revelation. So he actually wrote like 50 chapters in the New Testament. And second to that is Luke, who wrote Luke Acts, which is one book. Luke Acts is one book, and that's like 52 chapters. And then Paul wrote 87 chapters. So John is kind of like number 3, you know, as far as longevity, if you will, or as far as authors are concerned in the New Testament. And so as we take a look at 1 John, I want to kind of do a couple weeks of 1 John. This is such a good passage for us today. And I just wanted to make sure that we grab a hold of this, because there's a lot in here that we're just going to pull out. We're going to just really wrap our minds around this in 1 John chapter 1. And I want to start with verse 5. And it should be on the screen in front of you as well. It says, "This is the message we've heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness." We're not practicing the truth. Verse 7. "But if we're living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim that we have no sin, and we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claimed that we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts." So I want to take a look at I kind of call it like the 5 ifs. The 5 ifs of 1 John chapter 1. There's a lot of ifs in here. And so when you read a passage of Scripture, you kind of want to grab a hold of these interesting ways that people are writing things. And there's 5 ifs in here that we want to take a look at. The first one we find in verse 6. I termed it the if of revealed hypocrisy. The if of revealed hypocrisy. Verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie, and we don't practice the truth." You know, this fellowship, this word fellowship, it's this word of knowing each other, of caring for each other, of being connected to one another. And so fellowship can be broken. Fellowship can be broken. I remember there's times in my life many times in my life that I've disobeyed my father, right? I mean, you probably have too when we were young kids, and especially when we were teenagers, there's just that disobedience there. And I remember there's just that time where it's one of those things where you just kind of like, I'm good. You know, do I really want to listen to my dad at this time, at this point? And what ended up happening is that, yeah, I made my own decision, and that fellowship, that relationship with me and my dad is broken. It's not like it's irreplaceable or irreversible. It's just broken. So fellowship has been disconnected between me and my dad when I disobey. And the same thing is true with our Heavenly Father. The same thing is true when we disobey. When we break that fellowship, there's just that distance. Have you ever said this before? Like, oh man, I just feel really far away from God. Maybe some of you are right there right now. That you just seem super far away from God. Like it's hard to pray. It's hard to just hear God's voice. It's a chore to get into the Bible. Maybe you're in that position in your life that it's just like there's fellowship broken. And you know why, right? You understand why. But John is talking in this passage that if we say that we have fellowship him and then yet walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. So why is the fellowship broken between you and God? It's because you're walking in darkness. There's sin. There's something that's clouding your judgment and breaking fellowship with God. Just like my relationship with God, back when I was a teenager, when I disobeyed my dad, when I said, you know what, I'm good, Dad, I don't want to listen to you right now, I'm going to do my own things, my own ways. I was walking in darkness, and it breaks that relationship with God, or with my Father. And the same way is true with our Heavenly Father. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to live in Him, in fellowship with Him, so that it's not broken. So I tell you today that I'm not ashamed to say this, and I'm not going to ever not say this, but sin breaks relationship with God. And so if you find yourself in a broken relationship with God, there may be something in your life, some sin in your life, something that's putting a barrier between you and Him. Let's not call it something else, but let's call it sin. And we have to realize the hypocrisy that has taken place in our lives at times, that we say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. I put this Christian mask on every time I come to church, and oh, look at me, I'm such a good person. We can do that really, really well. But we've got to understand that if we say we have fellowship with Him and yet we still walk in darkness, we're lying. We're lying to ourselves. We're lying to others. We're lying to God. And so that fellowship is broken. And so sin breaks relationship. Number two, another if. The curative if of fellowship with God. The curative. Like here's the cure, right? Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So there's a fix to broken relationship. There's a fix to that broken fellowship with God. There's a fix because we understand that sin breaks relationship, not only with God, but sin breaks relationship with each other. We don't have that commonality as Christian brothers and sisters when there's sin involved. When something's going on in your life, it just seems like you are way over here and everybody else is here. But we see in verse 7, Jesus is the cure. Cleansing from sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, there's this, it's an action of it keeps cleansing, and there's enough available. The cleansing is there for us. And so the curative if of fellowship with God is understanding that when we walk in the light of Jesus Christ and we simply take Him upon us and we ask for forgiveness of that sin. Some of you are thinking, wow, this is a pretty basic sermon. And the answer is yeah. You know why? It's because we're like sheep. The Bible talks like we're like sheep. And you know what sheep are? They're dumb. Sorry, did I just call you dumb? Yeah, I guess I did. Because I'm one of those too. I'm with you. We're dumb. Yeah, if the shoe fits, right? That is what it is, man. I mean, come on. This is basic stuff, but you understanding that we've got to be reminded of this time and time again. Sin breaks relationship, not with God, but also breaks relationship between Christians. Breaks relationships between Christians. Ooh, let me watch this. Sin breaks relationship between husband and wife. Right? Husband and wife. I mean, we're supposed to be connected. We're supposed to be one. We're supposed to be, like, as Christian husband and wife, we've got something that the world doesn't. We've got an intimacy that the world doesn't. It's called spiritual intimacy. And when sin enters by either the wife or the man, it breaks a relationship. So you wonder why your marriage stinks. It's because you aren't walking in the light, but you're walking in darkness. And that there's sin breaking that fellowship in a marriage. And Jesus is the cure. The curative if. You see, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, friends, the phileo, right? The brotherly love. We have fellowship with one another. Also, we have that beautiful love between husband and wife, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. Jesus is the cure. The third if in this passage, verse 8, I kind of call it the deceiving if of foolish pride. Verse 8, if we say that we have not sinned, we have deceived ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, I've met people. I mean, I've been in ministry for a handful of years and I've met a lot of people. And there's people that I come across that they're like, oh yeah, I can do this and it's not sin. And I'm not going to get into details, but literally they're like, oh yeah, I totally am cool with that. It's not sin for me. It's not sin. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, there's like a pride there, and they like claim it. They're like, yeah, I'm good. I mean, there's just, this isn't sin. And it usually kind of goes along with, yeah, it's not sin because I'm not convicted by it. Well, if you speed, let's say if you're on the road and you're speeding, and you're not caught by the police, is it still speeding? Right? I mean, it's like, you know, the tree falls in the woods and nobody's around to hear it. No, come on. So if you're speeding and you're not caught by the law, is it still speeding? The answer is yes, it's still speeding. That's the kind of thing that people say, well, I'm not convicted by it, so it must not be sin. I mean, you ever said that before? I remember saying that as a young Christian, even as a young person. I remember, yeah, I'm not convicted by it, sure, but no. This is that foolish pride. Verse 8, if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. So don't deceive yourself with the foolish pride that you are like God's gift to everything. I'm being real nice tonight, today, aren't I? We're not God's gift to the world. I mean, give me a break. Let's go. We have to think about this. We cannot be so prideful in the fact that just because you're not convicted doesn't mean it's sin. Because it's just as foolish as you thinking that you going out and speeding doesn't mean that you're speeding unless you get caught by the police. It's the same logic. So we've got to understand and be careful that we have to understand what sin is. He says, number 4, it's the boastful if that blasphemes God. And verse 10 says this, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. We make God a liar when we say that we've not sinned or that we're too good for sin. You see, God and his word are the moral compass, not us. Let me say that again. God and his word are the moral compass, not CNN. God and his word are the moral compass, not Fox News. You see, God and his word are the moral compass, not our friends and family and our traditions and our history. God and his word are the moral compass. And so when we think about this verse 10, that if we say we've not sinned, John says we make God a liar. And so number 5, this is the fifth if in this passage. The if that assures complete forgiveness and the cleansing of our sin. If we confess our sins, this is verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good? I didn't write that. Let me read it again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, a lot of the people are seeking the peace and security they have heard about, but they're not willing to find it. They want this forgiveness. They want something in life, but they're not willing to look for it. We've got to confess. We've got to look for it, because understanding that Jesus is able to cleanse us from all of our sins, all of our unrighteousness, because he's faithful. He's faithful. And so today I'm calling us out. I'm calling us out. This passage of scripture is calling us out for those potentially that are looking at themselves as, wow, they are, like, I'm greater than everybody around me. And that I don't have sin in my life. I mean, of course, I look way better than the people in my neighborhood or the people I work with, right? I mean, if we confess our sin, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we're going to take communion here in a minute. We're going to take a time of seeking forgiveness. Seeking forgiveness and seeking cleansing, seeking understanding, and cleansing from all unrighteousness. And I thought it'd be appropriate for us to really listen to 1 John chapter 1 today, before we take communion. Because it convicts me. And if I ever get to the point in my life where I say, oh, I'm sinless, or I'm perfect, or I'm because I'm a pastor, I don't deal with that. I'm above you. No, if I ever get to the point in my life, oh Lord, it's not a good thing. So the same is true for us. If we humble ourselves this morning, we present ourselves to an almighty God and realize that there may be broken fellowship with God. There may be broken relationship with your Heavenly Father today. There's something in the way. There may be something just taking you and distracting you just enough where there's broken relationship with God. I pray it hasn't gone to the point that you have just simply said, oh, it's not sin in my life. I'm good. Just because it's not convicting me, I'm okay. Bring your life. Let's hold up the Word of God as a mirror for our lives to see if it reflects the truth. And so as I preach this morning, I'm just as convicted as your faces look out there today. I'm human. I fall short. I make mistakes. I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And so that's why we come here today. That's why we call ourselves Christians. That's why we gather together for prayer. That's why because guess what? I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are in here today. And I'm pointing right back at myself. We are not free from this thing called sin in the world. We are susceptible. And just because you come to church here doesn't make you any better than anybody else out there. Just because Dighton Wesleyan Church is your church home doesn't make you better than anybody else in our community. Because we are sinners saved by grace. We just know it, and maybe some don't. We just know that we need Jesus. We just know that grace needs to abound all the more because the sin is, we're aware of our sin. So I guess I wanted to share that with you this morning because I want to make sure that we are a humble church, that I'm a humble pastor Because guess what? Here's what the Word of God says. God opposes the proud, but gives what? Yeah. He gives grace to the humble. The Word of God says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I don't know about you today, church. I don't know about you today, Christian. I don't want to be opposed by God. I don't want to be opposed by God. So the instructions are today is let's humble our hearts. Let's humble ourselves. Let's confess our sin. Let's restore. Let's allow the restoration of the fellowship between you and the Father take place this morning, right here, today, right now. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to come and be that bond between Father and Son, between Father and Daughter today. And so confess your sin. He's faithful. He's just to forgive you of all of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Praise be to God. So on the night that he was betrayed, The Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks for it. He broke it into pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself." So I want to take this opportunity this morning as we humble ourselves, as our hearts are humbled before God. I just want you to make your confession to him. Right where you are, it's okay. I'm not, just say, "Lord, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for that. Forgive me of my sins." Simply say, "Lord, I want to build the relationship back." Because guess what, you guys? Did you know that God doesn't go anywhere? He always stays the same. It's us that fall away. It's us that finding ourselves wandering through sin. So let's join back with fellowship with God today, shall we? Confess your sin, humbly confess, and just simply say, "Lord, forgive me of all of the things I've done." It's okay to name them. You know what your heart's speaking right now. Name them. Say, "God, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for this." And so as we take this moment, we give thanks for the forgiveness of sin. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, humbly we thank you, we praise you for this time and week in which we can commemorate the blood that was shed on a cross. We commemorate the body that was broken, all for our sin, all for a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. And God, today we celebrate you today. We celebrate you today. I pray, God, that as we receive this, that we would be drawn closer to you, that we would be reminded of grace, that we would be just drawn so close to you in such a way that as we leave from this place, things would feel changed in our lives. And so, God, we thank you for the body and the blood, the brokenness of Jesus Christ for our sins. We celebrate you today. We celebrate you today.